From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman, and on today's episode, I talk with a Christian pastor about the importance Yahweh gives to his own name. Most Christians believe Yahweh is so awesome that even his name should be praised. Despite all of the horrible things he does and commands, they find their deity worthy of glory and honor. When he requires the death of his son because he needs bloodshed in order to forgive, Christians call him merciful. When he threatens to send people to be burned for eternity for not loving him, Christians call him just and fair. And when he creates evil, when he tortures and kills children, Christians find him loving and never question his actions. They will bend over backwards in defense of this wrathful, jealous deity. They will take the side of their documented child killer, no matter what he does. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
I couldn't figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm blessed. Now, you said you were in Malachi. What chapter?
Oh, Malachi 2:2.
Let's see. Let me read the verse before that for context. It says, "And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear it, if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name," this is King James Version, "unto my name, say the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart." And I was doing some research, and the book of Malachi, just a minute here to get to my notes. The book of Malachi, as you know, that's the last Old Testament book, the last of prophets. And what was going on then is that he lived after the temple had been rebuilt and worship was restored. So Malachi was talking to the people at that time because they were slipping back into their old life of sin. So really, this entire book is a rebuke or chastisement for them going back to their old spiritual condition. And Malachi also predicted the coming of the forthcoming of Jesus in this book. So that's what that's all about. So the context of this is, of what you asked me about, is that he's telling them, hey, listen, folks, you know the truth. Why are you going back to your old ways?
So
in the Old Testament, it's pointing to the Messiah that's coming. In the New Testament, he's already, it goes to the process of him being born and dying and raising from the cross and all that, you know. So that's what this is pointing to. Malachi is saying, hey, guys, you know the truth. It's obvious that your heart is not in the right direction. So, and why are you going back to your old ways? There's another popular verse in Malachi that talks about tithing. But that's another sort of time. But that's what's going on there. So that the context of this is that he's talking to people that knew the word of God and they got away from it.
Right.
And going back to the old ungodly ways.
So when he says a son honors his father and a servant his master, I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? That's Malachi 1:6. He says that people show contempt to his name by defiling food. He is so concerned with his own greatness that even the food that is killed to him, so he can accept your apology, has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect for this being. Why does everything have to be so perfect? And if it's not perfect, it's a curse to you, it's death to you.
Oh, okay. Well, see, everything is context.
Right. Okay.
In the context of this whole, the context of the Old Testament is before Jesus was born.
Okay, but he's the same God, though.
In the Old Testament, pardon?
He's the same guy, though. He's the same guy that said, I will curse your blessings if you don't listen to me. I will curse you if you don't set your heart on my name.
What I'm saying is the Old Testament, that has already been fulfilled, most of it, in terms of the Old Testament was showing, was pointing man to God by showing them their sin. In the New Testament, Jesus was born of a baby. He grew up when he was 33. He went out for 3.5 years. He died. He buried. He was resurrected, shed his blood for us. And so now there's no more. The sacrifice is already paid. So this whole line of thinking about the food and all that that's mentioned here, that's in the Old Testament. That no longer is the case. But during that time, the whole idea was to point people to God, was to point people to a coming Messiah. But he's already come. So in other words, the part that you're reading, the son honors his father, his servant, is in verse 6 of Malachi 1.
So the Old Testament doesn't count anymore because of Jesus?
No. I'm not saying it doesn't count. I'm saying the rituals that they went through, that's already passed away. So in other words, the priests in the Old Testament used to have an animal sacrifice.
Right. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Yahweh can't forgive without bloodshed.
That's why that Trump says. So in other words, what I'm saying is, in terms of lying or committing sin, that's still the same whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, in terms of sin in general. But what I'm saying is this whole portion here about where it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master, if then I be a father, where is mine honor and all that. All of sin has been placed on the cross when Jesus went to the cross, New Testament. Verse 8, it says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And so this is all showing, this is all in the context of a coming Messiah. This is all, the Old Testament is in the context of that there had to be the shedding of blood of the animal for remission of sin. But now there's a better way, and that better way was Jesus.
Why didn't he do that to start with?
Pardon?
Why didn't he just start with Jesus? Why all the blood and sacrifice in the Old Testament?
Well, that's why he's God and we're not. He chose, God chose to do it this way.
He chose death and blood.
And if you have your Bible in front of you,
I do.
In Genesis 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, as we read on, if you read that chapter, it talks about how mankind began.
Which contradicts chapter 2.
Right, and then mankind, when mankind was born, Adam and Eve, and God said, told them to stay away from the tree. And this is chapter 2, verse 17. In Genesis, chapter 2, verse 17.
Yeah, you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me just stop here and say this. Before they partook of the fruit, first Eve, then Eve was deceived. Adam followed willingly his wife.
Adam was there right next to her. He heard
say the whole
thing. Yeah, Adam was right next to her. She turned around and gave him the fruit. So Adam was there right next to her listening to the snake talk.
Right, the deceivement. So, but what I was about to say is, before this happened, there was a perfect world. Because remember, after they partook of the fruit, they realized they didn't have any clothes on.
Well, why was the tree there in the first place? If Yahweh knows everything, why would he cause the fall of man on purpose?
Yahweh knows everything. We don't know everything. Right. I don't know why he did that. It doesn't tell us in the Word of God why he did it that way.
It doesn't make any sense.
Since he's God, he makes up his own rules.
Doesn't make
That's
him awesome, though.
Pardon?
Just because he makes up his own rules doesn't make him worthy of praise or awesome, though. Doesn't make him good in any way.
Well, he's worthy of praise and awesome because he in chapter 1, he's the one that made the world.
So why does that automatically make him worthy of praise and worship? Like, anything could have created the world. My invisible dinosaur friend could have created the world. That doesn't make him worthy of praise.
I created children. That doesn't make me worthy of praise and honor and worship. That doesn't automatically make me a good person if I say I'm a good person. But Yahweh does all these things, and it's automatic.
When I talk about being a good person, what I'm talking about is the fact that if we believe the Bible, if we believe what the Bible says, then it says God created. And so the answer to that question is, why did God do what he did and how he did it? That was up to him.
So you don't know why he created us?
He created Adam and Eve for them to worship him.
So he needed worship?
And to praise him. Mm-hmm.
So Yahweh, this all-perfect, all-powerful, eternal being, one day decided that I need some worship. I'm going to create these two toddlers who don't know right from wrong. And then I'm going to put my tree down there so that they'll fall and they'll have to do all kinds of stuff for me throughout eternity, and then I'm going to punish them if they don't listen to me.
Well, no, he gave, for whatever reason, he put that tree in the garden. And like I said, I can let go of what the Bible says. He didn't say why.
Right, right.
He gave them a choice. Just like, you know, I have a choice to break the speed limit or not. It's a choice, and he gave them a choice, and they choose not to follow it. So,
well, the people who make human laws, like such as the speed limit, aren't supposed to be perfect. Yahweh's supposed to be perfect. He then sets up a tree in the middle of the garden, which he knows is going to cause the fall of man, but he still does it. Because why?
Well, that was his choice, but he gave us a choice as well.
Because choice. But he didn't give us a choice to not be tempted by his tree. He didn't give them a choice at all. He said, here's my tree. I'm going to put it here. You don't have a choice to not have this be here. I'm going to put this magical, deadly tree in the middle of a perfect garden for no reason other than I'm just going to see what happens. Although I know what happens, I'm still going to put it there. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, we're not going to perfectly understand God, but remember, he always gives us a choice, just like he gives us a choice.
Does that make sense to you?
Pardon? Yes.
How does it make sense to you? If he knows he's going to cause the fall of man, and he's supposed to be all-knowing and loving, why would he cause the fall of man on purpose?
Because I do not have to submit to temptation.
No, we didn't do anything. Adam and Eve did this. We're being punished for their sin. I, the Lord your God, Exodus 25. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation.
Right. So we are the ones. Uh-huh. We are the ones that made the choice not to follow what God said.
And what happens if we don't? What's he going to do?
Well, here's something that's more important than this, than explaining this. Jesus was born to die for our sins. And if we accept his free gift of salvation and accept that by faith, then we can have eternal life so that when we die, we can go one day and be with him.
So by faith.
The free gift of eternal life.
So you think that that Jesus being born to die is a good thing, correct?
Right, yeah. In fact, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of glory of God. Now, keep in mind that the nature that Adam and Eve have, we are the descendants. So that sin that they committed is passed on to us.
Of course.
And that's why we, following that, have to accept Jesus as Savior in order to be with him one day in heaven.
So if I go to jail for, like, my sentence is 10 years and I die 5 years in, do my kids have to pay for the rest of that crime? Or is that only...
Of course not.
That only works with Yahweh. That only works with Yahweh. He still punishes children for the sins of their fathers. Nobody punishes children for the sins of their fathers except for Yahweh. That doesn't make any sense to me. You brought up the wages of sin. I wanted to go to that. The wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death, correct?
Right. So death is eternal separation from God, meaning that when one dies from this earth, their soul, we're spirit, soul, and body, but their soul are the part of being that you cannot touch, your emotions and so forth. That goes either to be with Jesus or it either goes with Jesus or it goes to hell, or is eternally separated from God. That's what hell is, really.
Right. So laws was The wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23. Romans 5:20 states that the law was added so that trespass might increase. So if the law was added so that people will sin more or trespass more, and the wages of sin is death, why would Yahweh want to increase sinning? Why would he want to increase death?
Well, let's see. Let me go back and read the verse before that in 5:19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So in other words, in the Old Testament, the whole thing about the sacrifice of animals was to point people to God, to let them know that they needed God. And so sin much more abundant than
that. Let's stop there. Wait. Yeah. You just said that the sacrificial system was set up so that people would know that they need God?
Right. Yeah. That was the whole thing.
You said that out loud, with that. He wants you to kill animals so that you know that you need him. That does not make any sense to me. I can tell my kids that they need me, but I don't need them to kill anything in order for them to understand that they need me. How does that make sense?
Here's the key. What we view as a human being has nothing to do with God. Our ways are not God's ways.
Clearly, we don't need you to kill anything in order to accept an apology.
Right. And so since we're not God, God makes the rules. We don't in that context.
Right. In that context, of course, it's his world. I guess he gets to make the rules, right?
Right.
So why would he choose death and blood? Why would he choose all of that? He's a perfect, loving being, but he wants you to kill animals in order to accept your apology.
If we knew the answer, we'd be God.
Right, but then he wants his son to die. He needs his son to die in order to forgive you, so that he doesn't send you to hell and burn forever for not loving him.
Right, and the key is we have to accept that gift. That's the key. The free gift that he's giving.
That's not free. Somebody had to die. How is that free?
It's free from the standpoint it's free for us.
We
have to accept it. It's not free. It costs God everything, his son. But he was born to die for us.
Does he have
his
son?
And he willingly gave his life for us.
Where is Jesus now?
Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven.
Then how did he give up his son?
Remember, his son was born a virgin through Mary.
He forcibly inseminated a virgin. Did he ask her if this was okay? I don't remember that part of the story.
He didn't ask. He picked her because she was a righteous woman.
He just
now again, he's God and we're people, so I don't claim to understand everything that God did.
Man.
But he was both God and a human being.
And you're okay with all of this? Well, just because he created the world.
Yes. In fact, we just read out of Genesis. Yes,
yeah,
I believe it.
I understand that in the Bible it says that Yahweh created the world, but it also says that he needs blood in order to forgive you of something. That's disgusting. That's not love.
Right. Without the shedding of blood, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins or forgiveness of sins.
Right. He is incapable of forgiving you of your sin unless you kill something. He's going to send you to hell unless he kills his son. That's disgusting. Can he not snap his fingers and make everybody not sinful? Can he not? Can he snap their sins go away? Can he just do that? He made David's sin go away in 2 Samuel. He says, "I have taken away your sin." He did all kinds of stuff, but he killed David's child instead. That was disgusting.
Well. Here's the thing. I cannot give you an answer as to why God did what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe what he did and what his word says.
But you believe that it's
and
good.
That's, I mean, you know, if we had all the answers that God had, we'd be God.
I wouldn't want
to
be.
That's something to ponder on. To ponder about.
But do you think he's a good being? Why do you think he's good? What has he done that is good besides Genesis 1?
Well, first of all, he created mankind.
That's still Genesis 1.
He created the whole world system.
Mm-hmm.
And like it says in Genesis, every day we have Sunday, sun up and sun down.
Mm-hmm.
He created the fish and the sea and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at it, the earth is a regenerating body, you know. We don't have to wonder if summer, spring, winter, and fall are going to happen. He created that. It happens every year, at least every year that I can recall. And, you know, it just, you know, and he's created the complex human body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he set us up I can't grow one hair in my head. You know, mm-hmm. He sets up our nails to grow. We cut them periodically and so on. He's done all that.
And you just attribute all of that to Yahweh.
All of it to God, yes.
So
what about the bad stuff?
Do you attribute any of the bad stuff to Yahweh, or is it just all the good stuff?
Well, the bad stuff comes from the fact that we live in a sinful world. Men have sin, and the things that occur are a consequence of man's ungodly ways. For example,
you don't think Yahweh does any of this?
Evil things? No, God is not an evil God.
Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 45:7.
Right.
He creates evil.
Again, that's in the context of the Old Testament. And what they're talking about there is that, in the Old Testament.
So it doesn't matter anymore because it's the Old Testament. He created evil at one point, which means that the evil is here because he created it, regardless of Old Testament or New Testament.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, in the context of that, we have a choice now.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about right now. We have a choice of either being evil or not evil, of doing right or not doing right. And all the bad things that go on in the world, the people that are, you know, the mass shootings and all that stuff, that's the choice that those people have made to do evil.
Yeah, but God creates evil. Yahweh admits in Isaiah 45:7, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Why would a loving God create evil?
Isaiah, what did you say it was? I'm sorry.
Isaiah 45:7.
Okay. Let me get there.
No worries. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Let me read the verses before that. Thus saith the Lord, this is Cyrus, whose right hand I have pulled the subdued nation before him, and I will loose the loins of kings open before him, the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut, and I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have ever called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, and then he says, drop down, ye heavens, from above. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying, what I'm interpreting from what this says,
mm-hmm.
This is a contextual, I mean, in the context of this, This is about the tribe of Judah about to be restored. And so the context, the Lord is saying that he has a power to do evil and good.
Oh.
And what I'm saying, he has a power. See,
I make peace and create evil. I make peace and create evil. Does not say, oh, I have the power to make evil. No, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. He has made evil. Why would a loving being make evil?
You can't
evil?
One verse by itself.
Dude, well, it doesn't matter what the verses around it says. He's saying that he makes evil. Regardless of what the verses around it say, do the verses around it saying that he does not create evil? No. The verses around it are not saying that. The verses around it are irrelevant when he says, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That is a separate thing from everything else. He's stating a fact that he makes peace and creates evil.
Well, in the context of what he's saying here, though,
the context.
The evil, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Go ahead.
This whole thing about evil really began going all the way back to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
and how Adam and Eve were deceived.
Right.
And so there is, I was going to say before that, you know, we hear about people that are unfortunately killed by people who are drunk drivers and all that. And somebody say, you know, my son, you know, one of their friends or relatives were killed in that. How could God let that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm getting at is that the consequence of people's, what they do.
You're saying that God kills people by drunk drivers because they did bad things? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying
it. Okay.
No, I'm saying that God gives people a choice to do good or to do evil.
Uh-huh.
If they do evil, there are consequences for that.
Who puts out these consequences?
And what happened with Adam and Eve, they were given a choice in the very beginning.
So it's Yahweh that does it.
With any of us in that time, we did the same thing. So
I wouldn't.
That evil was passed upon all man.
I don't know. I would have eaten the tree of life first. I wouldn't have done the same thing. I wouldn't want to wait for that tree of life. Oh, yeah? You think I can die? Watch me eat the tree of life. And then you go for the tree of knowledge.
Well, remember, here's the thing.
They were doing it all wrong.
The thing to remember is that in the context of that, uh-huh. We may have very well been tempted in the same way they were. See, I'm not condemning them.
We may have. Yeah, we don't know.
Right.
We aren't there.
No, I wasn't there. But what I'm saying is, out of all of this,
uh-huh.
out of all of this with Jesus, Jesus is the answer. Does that mean we're going to have a life that doesn't have pain and suffering like his life did? No, it doesn't mean that. And so whatever we're going through in life, you know, we just go through it. We rely on the Lord and
just
through
Jesus.
His grace.
Not so much Yahweh, mainly Jesus.
Jesus, right. It's all about accepting Jesus as personal
Jesus.
Savior. And here's the thing.
Matthew 10:30. Go ahead.
I accepted him 30 years ago, and the key point I want to bring is that have I had difficulties? Yes, we had a son that needed a heart transplant. We had other issues that came up. And what happened is he gave us a peace. He gave us the comments to go through no matter what happened. Because life is going to be, I don't care.
You yourself? How do you know it was him? How do you know that this invisible being who has no voice did something for you?
Because within my heart, well, because the Word of God, I believe
faith.
The Word of God said.
Faith. You just have faith that this feeling that you
right.
have is your deity. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11:1, which is my life verse, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's my verse. Matthew 10:34, let's go there. If you want to talk about Jesus, let's see what Jesus actually says. And Matthew 10:34, he says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. Jesus was not this all-perfect being that everybody makes him out to be. He even tells the Pharisees, or the teachers of law, he scolds them for not stoning their children to death as well. He does not come to bring peace to the earth. He came to bring a sword, he says, in Matthew 10:34.
Right, I see that.
Yeah.
Again, it's about context. The whole thing about Jesus,
he wasn't
the bottom
saying
line
that.
Of the whole discussion.
It's about context.
I'm sorry?
I said he wasn't saying that. It's about context.
No, I'm saying the context of the whole New Testament is that by accepting Jesus as personal Savior, whenever the time is when we leave this earth, we can be in His presence if we accept Him.
Who is He saving us from?
He's saving us from eternal separation is hell.
Who's gonna eternally separate us and throw us into hell?
Once we die, you know, our soul can go one or two places, either heaven or hell.
Who's going to put our souls there?
Actually, if we don't accept Jesus as personal Savior,
mm-hmm.
and our name's not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life,
oh, if my name's not
then
in the
what
book.
Happens is we are eternally separated.
But who puts us there? Who made that rule that I'm going to be eternally separated and eternally burned? Who made that rule?
God made that rule.
That loving deity you worship. Because he created the
world.
Again, you don't even know why he created the world. We don't even know why we're here. We have no idea why this perfect being needs worship or love. Why does he need love and worship?
But I'm not going to... Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm personally not going to question that.
Why?
And so I just accept that. That's the faith.
That's not faith today.
I mean, that's just not questioning something. Faith. What is faith to you? What is this faith?
That's to me, I believe what his word says, and I accept it as that. And I don't have to see him personally to believe it.
So faith is not seeing something, just believing something you don't see.
Right. You know, I believe what his word says. Have I ever met him? No. Have I seen him? No. But I believe what the word of God says.
But you only believe what you don't see that's in the Bible. That's very interesting to me. Why not any other religions? Have you picked up any other holy books and read what they say? Because they all claim to be true and factual as well.
They all claim to be that, but right. I don't desire to read those books.
Why did you all of a sudden pick this one? You have no confirmation. You can't see him or hear him. You use it faith, right?
Well,
so why do you use faith on this particular religion? You just happen to read this one first? Or you were grown up in a Christian church? Or how's that work?
Well, what happened was is when I was given the gospel, it wasn't about a religion or a particular church. It was about the word of God.
Okay.
That's what I was exposed to.
Which words were so amazing that changed that you became a Christian?
What happened was my son was being born, my first son, and then my sister-in-law and brother-in-law came, and they told me, you know, the Romans 3:23 and the Romans Road and some other scriptures about Jesus, about what he's done, about the free gift.
Oh, the free
gift. The free in the sense that I don't have to pay for it, that he's paid, that Jesus already paid it all.
Yeah, you don't have to go to hell anymore. Yahweh's not going to send you to hell anymore because he killed his son, because he had to have blood.
And I accepted that gift.
You don't think that's disgusting?
No. If that's the way God set it up.
If I set it up to where I had to kill my son in order to forgive you for wrecking my car, would you find that disgusting?
But see, here's the thing. We're thinking in a human sense. God is talking about that.
How else would you like me to think?
I think killing is wrong.
Yahweh doesn't seem to have a problem with bloodshed. But me, personally, I do have a problem with bloodshed. I think it's disgusting that you need to kill something in order for me to you to forgive me. That's terrible. That is not loving. There's no love in that whatsoever. I can forgive you without killing something. Yahweh cannot. There is no love in that. I do not see how that is a perfect being. He can't forgive you without bloodshed.
But see, I don't have to understand why he set the rules he has.
Of course you don't, because you have faith.
And so I accept that. I mean, you know, everybody has to choose.
I choose not to worship the child-killing deity of the Old Testament. You choose to worship Jesus, as opposed to that child-killing deity of the Old Testament. Am I correct?
I've trusted Jesus as my personal savior. So
it's all about Jesus.
So we all have a choice to make.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Whether to accept.
So why do you even follow the Old Testament at all? What parts? I mean, there's so much in there that you just ignore and you focus on Jesus. But it's the same guy. Is Yahweh and Jesus the same person?
Here's the thing about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
There are three forms of him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
No. There's three forms of Yahweh. Yahweh was the original deity. I think you're confused.
Well, in my terms, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God.
Right, the Father, the
They're
Son,
all equal.
And the Holy Spirit. So Yahweh would be you said there's three versions of Jesus, which is throwing it off a little bit, which means you're making
Jesus the head. I misspoke. There's three versions of God.
Yeah, okay.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me correct myself.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
Roger.
So what I'm saying is do I understand all three of them? No, completely. But I have a relationship when I accepted Jesus Christ with him. And with him, he takes my imperfect prayers and takes them to the Father, the Holy Spirit.
Wait, Jesus takes prayers to Yahweh. That's his job?
Yeah, he takes my prayers because I may not pray
completely
as I should.
Is that in the Bible?
It's in the Bible. I don't know where it is at the moment.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look that one up. That's interesting. Jesus takes prayers to Yahweh. That's his job. He dies for the sins of mankind. Okay, there's more. Okay.
Now, the other thing is the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he fills us with the Holy Spirit of God.
Uh-huh.
And since I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, I have most of the time let the Holy Spirit guide me in making my decisions in life. You know, for example, if I were to be called by another company to work somewhere else,
uh-huh.
I would pray about it and ask the Lord, okay, do I need to take this job in this other city or state or not?
And how do you know if he answers you without a voice?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course he can. Within, you know, either through circumstances or within.
Oh, so you see signs. Let's say you see a sign for Texas. Oh, I need to move to Texas. That sign was put there by my God.
No, it's not right. No, that's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, inside me, there's this, you know, I get this peace,
like
and I go ahead and make that
part. Like a peace of mind?
Like a peace of mind.
Like, do you get a peace of mind?
Peace of mind, yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's like your brain is telling you to go there or something. Is that right?
Right.
Right. So how do you discern if it's Yahweh or your brain? How do you discern the difference?
How I do it is that there's prayer and fasting. Hmm. And I ask, Lord, should I do this? And I do this. And then if I have peace about it, meaning I don't feel uptight about it, after I prayed about it for a while, then I make that decision and go in that direction. On the other hand, I prayed about stuff I didn't have peace about it. I didn't go in that direction.
That's an amazing system to have to decipher how your God is talking to
you. But it's all based upon faith. That's what I'm saying.
It has to be, because you're just going off of feelings and something you can't see. You're basing it off of feelings and something you can't see.
Well, that's faith. My faith is in the Word of God.
How is that a good thing? Where do you use that other than the Christian Bible?
This is all I know, period. I mean, I use it every day and have for the last 35 years.
Right, but do you use it anywhere else in your life?
All through my life, I'm making decisions.
What kind of decisions do you use faith with?
Everything. Should I buy this? Should I buy this? Should I get that person some money? Should I apply this job? I mean, I've used it, thousands of times. Should I go to this church or not go to this church?
Wow.
Should
I make
a
right?
Should
I make a left?
Trip?
That's amazing.
No, not make a left. I mean, not down to that level, but I'm saying you can go down to that level.
That's just amazing.
I have lost
to me.
My keys.
Here it is. So Yahweh lets children starve to death. He lets shootings and mass shootings go on, but he found your keys. He found your keys. Children are dying of cancer right now, suffering, but he found your keys. That's your loving God.
Here's the thing. The thing is, there's nothing too small or too big for God.
Oh. Yes, there is. I'd like to see him regrow a limb. Have you ever seen him regrow an amputee?
I've never experienced that. Some people said they have, but I haven't experienced that.
Not such a thing, man. Does not exist. Does not exist. Is Yahweh able to forgive without bloodshed? No. Hebrews 9:22.
No.
Yahweh is unable to forgive you without bloodshed. He states it in his Bible. Throughout the entire thing, he has Jesus raised up and killed so that he can, forgive people of his sin. He needs that blood. He has to have that blood. He can't
Michael,
do everything.
Michael, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you a pastor?
It's an interesting question. I used to teach from the Bible, yes. I don't know if you would call
me.
I don't know if you would call me a pastor, but at times, yes, I taught from the Bible.
Okay. What made you doubt it or think differently about it?
Well, for starters, he's not there. I can't see him. I can't touch him. I can't smell him. I can't feel him. He's not there. Second, I read the Bible. Holy cow, man. this deity is not loving. I have not seen any love in here. He kills children to seek glorification for himself. He drowns children. He sends bears to rip children apart. He starves them to death in Hosea 9. He dries up their breasts because their parents worshipped a different deity. And if you want to use the excuse that they were sacrificing children to their deity, so Yahweh stepped in and killed all of their children so that they wouldn't sacrifice their children to a different deity? That's disgusting. This and then to tell me that he's loving because he had to send his son to die in order to forgive me, so he doesn't send me to a place of hell with fire to burn forever because I don't love him or I didn't listen to him. He sends curses on people. There's no love in this. I don't see any love in this at all. I can't get behind a deity that starves children to death, that drowns children. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The love does not make any sense to me.
Well, have you always felt this way, or have you changed how you view things?
I changed how I view things. I used to follow along with what everybody told me. Oh, Jesus is love. Yahweh is love. You're broken. You need this, and blah, 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 blah. Then I actually sat down and read the Bible. I actually read these stories I was teaching from, and holy cow, they're disgusting. They're terrible. This God is jealous. He punishes children for the sins of their father. That's not loving at all. He's more concerned about his own greatness and his own name than he is with the life of a child. That's disgusting. That does
well,
not
let,
need
let
to be worshipped.
May I invite you to come to service one day? To our service?
Man, that is,
would
that
you come?
What do you think would happen? Do you think praying over me would change something?
I don't know. The Word of God could change something. I mean, I'm not... the people that go there in the pastor, which I'm not the pastor there, but it's not us. It's God's Word that's going to... You know?
I have read it, man. Which part of it is so amazing?
From cover to cover.
Oh,
to
my
me.
God. Okay, so...
I'm being honest with you.
Romans 9:18, when Yahweh says he has mercy on who he wants to have mercy and he hardens who he wants to harden, do you think that's a good thing? 1 Corinthians 16:22, if anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. That's terrible. Yahweh hardens Pharaoh's heart 4 times in Exodus, and one of them, he kills a bunch of children in the middle of their sleep. He creates evil in Isaiah 45:7. Jesus brings a sword in Matthew 10 to separate families. I don't see any love in here. I don't see anything that's amazing.
Well, the only thing I can say is I believe what the Word of God says, and he's been good to me and my family.
You believe the Word of God says. So you believe that he kills children in the middle of the night, and you're okay with this. You still think he deserves worship.
I believe what the Bible says from cover to cover. Mm-hmm. And whatever he says he did, he did.
Uh-huh.
Do I totally understand it? All of it? No man or woman fully understands, but I do know this.
It can't.
Uh-huh. I do know that he's helped my family.
How do you know that, though? You don't know that for sure. You have faith. There is no positive reinforcement. There is nothing for sure about it. It's faith. Correct?
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe if you go to a top of a building and throw a ball off that it's going to hit the ground?
Most likely.
What we call gravity?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't see it, but
right.
You can
I see
jump off a building or whatever, we'll find out gravity exists.
Right, I can see the effects of it. I can see the effects of gravity. I can see the effects of the wind. I can feel the wind on me. I can feel gravity pulling me towards the earth. I can't feel Yahweh. I can't distinguish my own thoughts from a deity that is mute. But you can because you insert faith. You insert this, I don't know, so I'm just going to say yes. That's how you know, is because you just put faith in there. I can't do that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because I can sense his presence. And that's another story for another time. I can't prove
how
that.
Do you
and,
know?
I mean, I
exactly. Exactly. How do you know that's Yahweh? That could be a fart rolling in the room from the next door. You don't even know. You have no clue. You just have faith.
Well, that's strong for me.
Apparently, it's pretty strong, man. That's the way of the lion. I mean, you worship a documented child killer, and you're okay with this because Jesus. Isn't Jesus and Yahweh the same person? So did Jesus kill the children in the Old Testament during the flood, during the Passover, and Hosea? Did Jesus have a part in this, or was it just Yahweh?
Well, since it's a great three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all have their own mission and part.
Ouch.
How they work completely, I don't fully understand that.
So Jesus kills children in the Old Testament just as Yahweh kills children in the Old Testament.
Well, this much I'll say. Mm-hmm. I don't fully understand how all three, you know, because it's complicated. I don't fully understand
that it is
the triune God. I don't think any man does fully. But whatever he said, I believe he did, and whatever he's going to do, he's going to come back again one day, I believe that he's going to do. Even though I haven't seen him personally, even though he hasn't pat me on the shoulder and said good morning, good afternoon, or whatever, I just believe, you know, I just believe by faith, honestly.
Right. I totally understand that you believe by faith. I totally understand that. I just don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So you believe that Yahweh and Jesus are the same person. So you believe that during the Passover, not only Yahweh crept into the beds, but it was Jesus and the Holy Spirit that also crept into the beds of the sleeping children and killed them. Why? So that he could show off his powers.
There's a pre-incarnate form of Jesus, Melchizedek. I mean, but anyway, what I'm getting at, no matter it was Jesus or the Father or the Son, my point is that I believe that he existed then, he exists now, and always did exist, and always will exist. Uh-huh. There's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe when we get saved, he fills us with the Holy Spirit as a guide, as a comforter, as a lead, as a director of our lives. I believe that mankind still does good and does evil, and he gives us a choice because he's given us dominion over the world, so we have a choice of either good or evil. And once he's given mankind dominion or control over the world, then it's up to us to choose good or evil. It's up to us to choose whether we want to believe by faith in Jesus Christ or not. It's up to us. Right. And he loves us.
Oh, I don't he see loves that. It. How does he love us? How does he love us? Where's the love,
Well, he
man?
Provides the air we breathe every day.
Oh, my God. How do you know that?
The Word of God says it.
I think the plants provide the oxygen we breathe every day. But you tell me it's Jesus.
But he didn't.
He doesn't provide it then. The plants do. He provided a plant. Okay, so if you think he created plants, he doesn't provide the oxygen. He provided the plant or the seed or the structure to build that plant, the DNA. He doesn't provide the oxygen. The plants provide the oxygen.
Whoever,
so let's praise the plants for giving us oxygen.
Right, but he was the one that created the plant out of nothing. Remember, the earth was spoken out of nothing.
Yeah.
So if he's a creator of that, then it's a continual loop.
He also tortures
children.
He
made the world so it'd be self-sustaining.
I don't care.
Everything
what he creates.
Is his own kind.
I don't care what he creates. He tortures children. It's disgusting. And you worship him. Do you worship him for the things he's done?
I worship him for the Savior that he is, that he saved my soul from hell.
So for the because of that one thing he's done, or the two things, so you saved your soul. He was the one who was damning your soul to begin with, and then he saved you from it. He saved you from himself. And you think this is cool?
Well, the way I view it is that he's allowed me to live.
You have to view it
a
different way.
He gives me the and every element of my life.
Yeah.
He provides transportation and food and shelter and clothing.
Oh my God! Who provides transportation and food and clothing?
He provided me with the wherewithal to get transportation.
Your brain provided you with the wherewithal.
But he put the brain in my head.
You have faith that he put the brain in your head. You don't know that. You just have faith that it happened.
All of it's by faith. I'm telling you.
All of it by faith. And you still are okay with him killing children. Because faith and because Jesus. It doesn't make any sense. I'm still not any more clear on this at all. But I appreciate your time. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions. It was very informative.
Well, the thing to remember is this. Mm-hmm. No man, no preacher, any of those will have all the answers to the Word of God because we don't fully understand God.
Because it's impossible.
And I don't claim, and from the beginning, I don't claim to fully understand everything yeah. that he's done and why he has done that. However, uh-huh. I made a decision back in 1983 to accept him as my Lord and Savior.
Regardless of what he's done in his past.
In spite of whatever has happened in the past and all Pharaoh's men and all of them were drowned, all that.
Children. Yes. It's the children I have the problem with. He killed the Pharaoh's army. Yes, he did that to seek glorification for himself as well. But it's when he kills the children that I really have the problem. He does it in so many instances. And then in Hosea, he even starves them to death. It's just disgusting. And you worship him because of the things he's done, but yet you ignore the horrible things he's done, such as creating evil and starving children to death.
Well, see, the thing is about that is that whatever God's done, whatever he's done, he's sovereign. It's his decision.
That's disgusting.
I don't claim to understand all he's done, and I don't know that I would have done the same way.
But
you
do have a problem with children dying, right? You do have this issue.
Well, now, in terms of abortion?
No. Holy cow. Yahweh creates abortion. Dude, he made wombs miscarry in Hosea 9 as well. Yahweh does abortion
right.
himself. So why is it okay for Yahweh to do it?
Because he's a sovereign God.
That's terrible, man. I can say I'm sovereign. Does that give me the right to do anything I want? If I create a world, does that give me the right to do whatever I want with that world?
But see, I'm not equal. Mankind is not equal with God, so I can't question what God does.
That's horrible, man. That is horrible. That is an abusive relationship. You cannot question me. I will kill you and send you to hell. I kill children. Don't question me about why I killed those children, though, because I am sovereign. I am the only one. Ha ha. That's terrible.
Well,
you're worshiping a
dictator. I may not agree with what God says, but he is God. He's the one calling Fred shot.
You don't agree with everything he says?
Pardon?
You don't agree with everything he says?
I don't understand everything he says.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't agree with everything he says.
Well, there are some things I disagree with, but I still try and follow. And I'll give an example.
Uh-huh.
If I wrong someone, uh-huh. then I need to confess, repent, and mm-hmm. tell that person I'm sorry. And I don't always feel like telling my wife I'm sorry when I'm wrong, but I do it because that's what the Word of God says to do.
So you only do it because the Bible says to do it, not because you're a loving husband and, you like to apologize?
Well, no, I do it because I see the error of my ways.
There you go. You don't need the Bible to do that. You don't need the Bible to tell you that you need to apologize to your wife. That's ridiculous.
But I do it also because the Word of God says to do it.
Oh,
it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do because it's the right thing to do, regardless of if this child-killing deity tells you it is.
Well, like I said, I just believe by faith in what the Father says to do, and he's put it within me, I believe, to just do that.
Yeah, yeah. And he says to stone children
to death.
He says, make sure you kill witches. Don't drink wine. In my tent of meeting, I will kill you as well. Oh, if you leave the tent of meeting with oil on you, you will also die. These are the things he said.
Right, I know.
Okay. Okay. And you're okay with all of this?
I'm okay with God. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir.
That still amazes me, sir. I think that's all the questions I have for you today.
All right, well, God bless you.
I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's all the podcast we have for you today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show and want to help us keep the recording light on, then stop by our Patreon page today at patreon.com/BSW the podcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show for as little as a dollar an episode. Patrons will get access to patron-only content such as bloopers and unaired clips.
As always, you can find us at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. Please send all of your questions or hate mail to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. That's bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And whether you listen to us on iTunes, Android, or YouTube, you can help others find the show and let us know how we are doing by giving us a rating and or a comment. While you're there, don't forget to push that subscribe button so you won't miss out on next week's episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?